So, guys, you're tuning into another episode of Cricket Talks. This is episode 4 now. We're going to switch it up a little bit. This is going to be a T20 team of the year. There hasn't been that much exciting news, to be honest, in international cricket recently. I know New Zealand gave West Indies another freshing, but that's a whole other conversation. So thought we'd switch it up. It's the end of the year. We're going to do our T20 team of the year. So for the guys who aren't aware of the rules, it's very, very simple. It's just literally international cricketers. You pick who you think is the best standout players of the year, despite the limit of or the limited amount of games that have been played in international cricket compared to a general schedule. So we're going to go position by position, Aaron, and you literally just explain your player and we'll go from there. So number one, who have you put in?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Opening batsman, T20 international cricket, I've chosen Babar Azam. Of course, Pakistan's limited overs skipper, one of the world's best batsmen in the format. I mean, you look at 2020, scored 276 runs at 55.2 in just 6 innings. An incredible batsman. So free-flowing, so elegant, a master of his craft, really. So for that reason, Babar Azam, definitely my opener in this 11.
Just to quickly go off topic, not too far, there's a debate of... Give me a second. You have to go. It's my little brother, sorry. There's a debate of, well, a debate I've seen a couple times, which is the Fab Four, right? Does Joe Root kind of, okay, is it now a Fab, is the Fab Four being turned into a Fab Five, or is it a Fab Four and Joe Root's had to cut? Because I think Joe Root is the weakest link out of the four right there.
It's an interesting one. I think the reason why the Fab Four, it's not necessarily saying the world's best four, it's because those four almost peaked at the same time. So they've gone on the same developmental journey. If you look at Babar Azam, for example, I wouldn't class him as one of the Fab Four because he's younger. He's a lot younger than each of those guys. He's still nowhere near his peak, which is just a testament to his incredible cricketing ability, I suppose. But for me, no. I think if we're basing it off of ability alone, yes, let's make it, instead of a Fab Four, let's make it the Fantastic Five. But in terms of the Fab Four coinage, that is because those guys came onto the scene at the same time, appeared at youth level together, and then have obviously taken over the world of cricket by storm. So, no, I don't think I'd include Babar in that necessary category.
Fair enough. So for my number one, it's pretty... I've got Babar as well, but I'm going to say him as number two. My number one is actually going to be KL Rahul. I think he's India's one of the most consistent players for the last year and a half-ish in white ball cricket. He's just good to watch in 11 innings, which is the second joint off the top, which I think Bairstow had 12 innings this year in international cricket. He's averaging just under 45. He's got 400 plus runs. He's got 450 plus scores, which just shows again how consistent he is. High score 57, which isn't massive, but if you're bringing in a 45 average at the top of the order, I'm not complaining. For me, he's sort of one of the more complete T20 openers, which is international cricket in T20s. The top order is very, very strong right now across the world, I'm saying,
yep,
as sort of a class. So you've got your Warners, your Bairstows, etc. But I think KL Rahul definitely comes across as one of the more complete ones as well. He also does provide the gloves, which I probably... Looking at my team, he probably would take the gloves from me as well. So that's my number one. Who's your number two then?
Well, this is interesting. Bear in mind KL Rahul, because he may appear, and I know that's going to be a spoiler, but he will appear later in my 11, possibly out of position. But in terms of my second opener, I've chosen Quinton de Kock, and he'll also be my wicketkeeper. So South Africa's skipper, very, very good 2020, scored 285 runs. This is the problem though, 31.66. There's just one thing I will say about Quinton. He had a lot of starts and then just got out at really inopportune moments. When he got going and he actually got past that 50, he was brilliant. He scored 65 against us in Durban earlier in the year. He scored 70 against Australia in Port Elizabeth as well. So he's got these big knots under his belt and he's got a fantastic strike rate. Looking at strike rate here, 170.65. And for those who don't really know cricket in depth, that means for every 10 balls that he faces, he scores 17 runs. That is absolutely extraordinary. So for that reason, Quinton just needs to improve consistency, I think, in terms of getting to those 30-plus and then converting into 50-plus, 60-plus scores. But I still think he had a wonderful, wonderful year. And for that reason, he is my second opener.
Fair enough. Is he going to take the gloves for you? He probably is, isn't he?
Yes.
Cool. So my number two is going to be who you said is your number one, which is I'm not too bothered about number one and number two, yeah. Which is Barbar Azam. Like you said, one of the best batsmen in the world right now. So consistent, averaging 55 this year, which is massive in T20 cricket. Like KL Rahul, 450 plus scores. And at the top order, he's such a good anchor. And I think I'd probably look away from the captaincy side of things for Barbar Azam just because of the team I've got and the whole situation with Pakistan and the captaincy issues. But for me, he's such a consistent T20 cricketer. And would you say, it's a weird one. It's a question that always kind of runs through my head, is the idea of T20 cricket and the idea of hitting sixes, right? Mm. So you've got your Kane Williamson, Barbar Azam, and arguably Darwin Milan in certain situations. Would you say Barbar Azam and Williamson, who I'm going to mention later on, again, another spoiler alert, they sort of defy the stereotype of T20 cricket all being about sixes, which I think is something that's important, because I think T20 cricket now comes with so much pressure that it's got to be so entertaining for the people, and, you know, T10 cricket has come from that. So for me, would you say the same thing, that he sort of defied the odds that not sixes are overrated, but it's not necessarily always needed, because he's got the mentality of every, apart from when you get in that sort of first six balls period, he's constantly rotating his wicket and he's very much grounded in the style of shots he plays. Would you say the same thing?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he goes against almost the new norm in 2020, doesn't he? Very much a traditional T20 player, knocks into the gaps. He's more of a finesse player and a touch player as opposed to a brute hitter like the likes of Andre Russell, Karan Pollard, Hardik Pandya, for example. But in my view, and I've said this all the time, I still think that there is a role like that in T20 cricket. I think that's why people can still argue the fact that Joe Root could be in the England team in theory, because you need an anchor. You do. The fact is, it's all nice and good going out smashing sixes, having a 200 plus strike rate, but you need a glue guy. If you've got off to 20 for three, for example, who's going to take you to the 18th, 19th over? And as you mentioned, Barbar Azam can be that, Williamson can be that, Joe Root can be that. So in my opinion, definitely, I don't really think there's much you can argue against having that anchor role in T20 cricket nowadays.
Sick. So who are you going to play as a number three? A massive, massive position in T20 cricket in general as well. So who are you going to give that to?
It is indeed, Mo. You alluded to him slightly. Okay, for those who don't know, I am in an England shirt. And I am, of course, talking about the world's number one ranked T20i batsman right now. Dawid Milan has a magnificent 2020. I mentioned there about Joe Root, and there was almost this conversation about who should take the number three for England. Well, I think after this year, we know it's going to be in the World Cup. It's going to be Dawid Milan. Scored 397 runs at 49.62. And people always, they comment about Dawid Milan's strike rate and the way in which he scores his runs. But 142.29, that is very, very good. And in addition to that, you look at that knock in Cape Town, for example, the 99 out. He got from 48 or 49 balls. So this guy has got that power game element about him. But I just feel like some people, they don't like the way in which he scores his runs. With that being said, I don't mind. As long as Dawid's scoring runs, producing match-winning knocks for England, yeah, he's definitely in my T2011.
You're right. Mine's the same person.
Yes,
I went good. Dawid Milan as well. It's self-explanatory, like you said.
Yeah.
The number one batsman in the world right now. He's so composed. Apart from the first, you know, first 4 to 6 balls where he looks like he's never played cricket before. And he's, I'd say apart from those deliveries where, you know, it's like, what's he going to do now? Once he gets in, it's kind of like game over, because he's like Barbar, he's so composed in it, the way his game is. But I think he provides that sort of, he's, if you put him and sort of Barbar and Williamson together, Milan offers all of that that they do, and he offers a bit more power if you like, and he's more risky inclined. So he knows, I think with watching a person like him, you'd probably say he's got such a high T20 IQ developed very recently, because he's constantly rotating his wickets. He can hit those fours the way Williamson and KL Rahul and Kohli and all those guys do. But when there is a six available to hit on any ball, he will make it look like, as soon as he'll make it into a six, because as soon as you bowl on leg stump or straight, he will just hook it behind him for six. It's as simple as that. So which is something I really like. Like you said, 10 innings, just slightly few less than Rahul. I think he's the second leading run scorer in T20 this year. just under 50 on average. He's got the 99 knock against Australia, not Australia, South Africa, which was integral. So yeah, number three has to be Milan for me as well. So who's your number four going to be?
You've already mentioned him, and he is batting out of place. That is Kerr Rahul Kanolakesh, as we RCB fans knew him back in the day. Yeah. But yeah, brilliant, brilliant player. Had a fantastic IPL. I know that's not international cricket, but also the Orange Cap leading run scoring that. But again, I think you said it very well, Mo. Just so consistent. You mentioned 450 plus scores. I mean, it's incredible. He's just had a fantastic year. Good 2020, and it sets India a really, really good standard heading into the 2021 World Cup.
Six. I went with Williamson for number four. I think you went slightly out of place for Rahul. I think he could very much play number four. Hasn't he played number four as well?
He can, anyway.
So yeah, that's cool. I went with Williamson. I think he's a bit more settled into the number four position, the sort of top order, middle order position. Natural leader. He's one of the best players in international cricket right now. And I said before, again, he's living proof that sixes aren't necessarily all he's needed. He provides the anchor role. He will get you your runs regardless. He's composed. He's probably one of the most calm, the calmest cricketers in international cricket right now, could you say?
He's up there, him and Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan as well, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. He's a great fielder, as are all New Zealanders anyway. He's going to be my captain as well. And statistically, he's averaging 53.3, which is massive in T20 cricket. Across three games, which isn't a massive amount, but you know, Williamson I'm inclined to anyway, just because he's just so consistent. Of those three games, he's got 250 plus scores. And yeah, you could pick the likes of, at number four, you could pick Van der Dussen or Morgan. But in terms of stability that I'd want, if I had to pick a T20 team, sort of a world team, I'd probably pick Williamson anyway. So let's go to number five now, your middle order. Who are you putting for number five?
I think you'll like this choice, Mo. It's Mohammad Hafiz from Pakistan. Had a fantastic year, 275 runs. And we talk about average. I'm not a massive averages man in T20I cricket, but I just had to mention this. 91.66 in five innings. He was only out on three occasions, had two massive not out scores. And you look at, I'm talking about one of those not out scores, 86 not out against us,
yep.
England, that is, at Old Trafford. Yep. And then he also scored, I think it was 69 or 68 against Bangladesh and Lahore. And Pakistan won by 9 wickets. So Mohammad Hafiz had a fantastic year. And not only that, if we are talking about squad balance, squad depth, he can also offer a bit of off spin. So for that reason, Mohammad Hafiz, the grizzled veteran, I had to put him in my 11.
Yep. I've actually picked him as well, number five.
Yeah.
If you're looking at all round cricket right now, international cricket, you'd probably argue there are a couple players that you could put in his place. You know, you got potentially Ben Stokes could play five. The way Sam Curran's going recently, you could go out there and say Sam Curran. You can go Marcus Stoinis, but for me, I think it has to be Hafiz. I think he's had such a good year, 2 years recently. But I'm going to go with only this year. He's actually naturally an opener, but he's adapted his game well to play for Pakistan's middle order. Very, very strong in there. He's really sort of, apart from Malik, who's, for me, I don't rate him as much as I did a couple years ago. Hafiz takes that role instantly. The way Barbara does in the top order, Hafiz provides that stability in the middle order. As soon as, you know, Pakistan's bringing in, we're sort of going through another transition phase. We're bringing a lot of debutants as well with Hushdil Shah and etc. But I think Hafiz provides that experience and anchor role in the middle. Like I said to a few other players, very, very high IQ cricketer. He is a bit limited in where he can score, but for me, I think he maximises where he does, and it's hard hitting. He offers that off spin, which is very, very economical against the left arm batsman, which if I'm watching games and I see a left arm batsman, I'm kind of going through, where can Hafiz bowl? And I'm like, middle order. As soon as the lefties are in, bring Hafiz on, because he's just so... he's so tight. As soon as you miss, if you miss the ball, you're out. It's as simple as that. But yeah, brings in a load of experience. And stats again, 275 runs of five innings, averaging 91, like you said, and the high score of 86, which is a massive game for us. I think we drew that game. We won that game, which drew the series because the first one got called off, which was really important for us. So that's my number five. Who are you going to go number six?
Well, we mentioned about playing our position In terms of T20 international cricket, this is definite. If we're talking domestic cricket, he has played as the finisher before, but I've gone Joss Butler, the universe Joss. He was the sixth leading T20I run scorer this year with 291 runs. Again, average of 48.5, but his strike rate 150.77. Just a brilliant player. And it's funny because I had Liam Dawson on my podcast the other day, the County Cricket Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we spoke about match-winning knocks. And Joss Butler did exactly that in 10 innings this year. Sorry, 9 innings, I suppose, 10 matches, including that one rained off against Pakistan. But he won 2 matches basically almost single-handedly. Scored 77 not out against Australia. And then, of course, that 67 not out against South Africa alongside Dawid Malan in Cape Town. So Joss, again, had a fantastic 2020. One of England's finest white ball cricketers probably ever produced. And for that reason, he's in my 11. He's going to play the finisher role. And yeah, let's have some fireworks towards the end of an innings.
Fair enough, fair enough. I actually missed out Butler completely as a whole. I don't know why. I think I've said this before. I just find him really awkward as a player just to watch. And that
really?
Probably, yeah, it puts me off so much. I think it's just, I think, you know, because his style of batting is...
unorthodox.
Yeah, it's a little unorthodox. It feels weird watching him. Which is kind of why I avoid him. But, you know, stats speak for themselves. He's one of the best white ball cricketers in the world right now. You said out of position. If we're talking in terms of his entire career, I know we're looking at this year only, he's not exactly out of position because he has...
No, not massively.
Yeah, because he's played middle order for a lot of his career and he's only come up really recently the way Bairstow did when he was playing 6 for England a couple years ago and now he's opening consistently. So, yeah, fair enough with that pick. I went with a veteran in international cricket, Kieran Pollard.
Good choice.
He's quote-unquote one of the best all-rounders in limited overs format, could you say? I'd put him up there.
It has to be. And one of the most winning as well. Wins trophies for fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's probably one of the most decorated ones as well. He's extremely valuable in all three departments. He's a great fielder. He's 30-odd now, but he's still taking one-handed catches. Medium seamer, experienced in that way. And a hard-hitting batsman. In 4 innings, he's got an average of 56 and a high score of 75 not out. I can't remember exactly the game it was, but he was playing for West Indies. I think he was captaining as well. And he hit some sort of stupid innings. I think it was a 75 not out.
Yes, against New Zealand at Eden Park.
Yeah, and
brilliant innings.
Do you remember how many balls it was off? Because I know the striker is very high.
Yes, 37, so around a 200 strike rate.
Unbelievable. Is that... Like, because if you look at Kieran Pollard, you're sort of, I wouldn't say stereotypically, but just generally because of, you know, he's only 33. He looks a lot older than that. I think just because he experienced how long he's been playing for, you'd assume he's like 37 or something. But he comes in and he's like, you've got Nicholas Poor and he's there. You'd expect him to be doing the same job that he is. But he's just clearing every top New Zealand bowler like it's for fun. Like, they've got Lockie Ferguson, I don't know who, Matt Henry. I can't remember exactly who was bowling that day, but they've got some real, real good bowlers and he's just hitting them for fun. So Kieran Pollard has to play 6 for me, I think. He's a... that number 6 is probably going to be... I've actually got 2 more all-rounders after this, which is mad. But I think Kieran Pollard is a very, very valuable player for me. And yes, he could play captain, but I'd prefer Williamson. So we're going to go on to number 7 now. Mitchell... Actually, sorry, you go ahead. You say yours first.
Well, you've just mentioned him, Mo. He is Kieran Pollard, and he is my captain. I think you pretty much summed it up brilliantly. Just a magnificent cricketer, and had a fantastic 2020.
Fair enough. Who's your number? Actually, I might as well say mine. Yeah, I forgot. Mine's Mitchell Marsh. Again, one of the best. I wouldn't say best might be out there. I think there's a lot of all-rounders and good all-rounders in cricket right now as a class, but. He's definitely he offers a lot. He's again, like Kieran Pollard, he's a great bowler, a hard-hitting batsman, great fielder. He's similar to Stoinis in that sense. I think he'd probably be a slightly better bowler than Stoinis. I don't actually have his stats, but Australia haven't played a huge amount of T20 cricket this year, but I think I just put Mitchell Marsh in anyway to play a sort of all-rounder position. Who are you going to go as number 8?
I've gone for a fellow Aussie. I've gone Ashton Agar. Played for my local county of Warwickshire or Birmingham, as we're known for in the T20 Blast. But he was the 4th leading wicket taker in T20I cricket this year. Took 13 wickets, had an outstanding average of 12.46 and an economy rate of 6.75. And in T20 cricket, that is like absolute gold dust. And I think back to, I think it was January or February, back at the Wanderers, Australia-South Africa took 5 for 24. He is such a fantastic bowler. I think he goes well under the radar. But had a fantastic year, formed a fantastic spin partnership with my number 11 batsman, who I won't reveal just yet. Okay. But yeah, Ash Nagar had a standout year. Brilliant, brilliant player. Also pretty handy with the bat as well. In that same game, scored 20 not out for about 9 balls. So very versatile, very flexible, fantastic player to have in any 11. And for that reason, he's in my lineup.
Fair enough. Are we at number 8 now, right?
Yes.
Cool. I went with my last all-rounder, which is Ravi Jadeja. So kind of similar to Agar in that sense. But my third all-rounder. Amazing with the bat, amazing with the ball. I think his economy is just above 7, which you said 6.5 or 6.75 for Ashton Agar, which is amazing. Like 6 and over is what we'd expect like 3-4 years ago to be amazing, to be very, very good. So to be getting 6.75 is sick, but I think for 7 is sort of just, I think if you're going about 7.5, 7.75, you're very much regarded as one of the top T20 bowlers, despite it being leading to about 140, 150 score, because just the level of international cricket right now is very, very high. But he's arguably one of the best fielders in the world right now, I'd say, as well, which I think is very, very handy. In the circle, he's got this great sling arm, which I really like. So number 8 has to be Jadeja for me. Who are you going to go as your number 9?
Now, this is an interesting one, because if you're looking at rankings, I suppose Jasprit Bumrah would have been in the mix, but just didn't play enough cricket, unfortunately. He had a fantastic economy rate, though, and we'll just mention that. It was about 6.38. Talking about Agar's economy, that is absolutely ridiculous for a seamer who bowls at the death. But in terms of my number 9, I've gone with a fellow Indian seamer, someone who, I'm going to be honest, massively surprised me. I didn't expect him to have the kind of year that he had, and that is Shardul Thakur, who plays for the Chennai Super Kings in the IPL. I don't know. I feel like this year, he's almost found his place in the India team. Was the equal second leading wicket taker in T20 internationals, took 15 wickets. And when you look at his wickets as well, although he was on the expensive side, 9.06, he was bowling to key players and getting key wickets as well. He got Glenn Maxwell out, Mike Guptill out, Avishka Fernando out, Colin de Grondon. The list goes on and on and on. He had a fantastic year. As I said, with Bumrah, those two formed quite a solid partnership in my view. So for that reason, Shardul had a standout year and has to make my 11.
Fair enough. I went with a seamer as well. Lockie Ferguson, someone who I rate very, very highly. I think a slightly slept on player, if I'm not. I'd probably say he's a bit underrated in my opinion. He's smart. He's a smart T20 cricketer. He's very, very quick. I think his action probably makes it awkward for batsmen to bat against as well. Again, not, like you said, not a lot of cricket's been played this year internationally, but he's played 3 games this year. I think he got a 5 for, was it against West Indies?
Yeah, 5 for 21.
Yeah, so you got his 5 for this year. So 7 wickets in 3 games with 5 wickets, 5 with a 5 for. So that pretty much sums it up for me. I think I probably would have gone Shardul or Jasprit if I didn't go Lockie. So yeah, that's my number 9. I'm going to go for my number 10. I went with a spinner. He's been my specialist spinner, so 4 overs regardless. And I've got my 2 others, which are all rounders. I'm going to go Adil Rashid. Arguably one of the best spinner in the world right now in limited formats. Rightly so. He's probably peaking right now, which would make a lot of sense. He's pretty much impossible to bat against in international cricket, it'd seem. He's an accurate bowler. If you miss the ball, it's as simple as he's just going to get you out. He'll expose you as a batsman. He's a handy batter if needed, but I'm playing him at 10, so I probably wouldn't need him anyway with the depth that I have. 11 games, 12 wickets, which aren't the best stats, but I think knowing a leg spinner's value in international cricket right now, I'd go for leg spinners in T20 cricket now anyway. You have Adam Zampa, you have Yuzi Chahal, you have Kuldeep Yadav, but I think I just prefer Adil Rashid. He's sort of peaking right now, so it's probably the reason I'd go for him. So who are you going to go as your number 10?
So I've also gone with the leg spinner, and I was this close. I don't know if you can see that. It's probably microscopic, the margin between these two, but I've actually chosen Adam Zampa over Adil Rashid.
Fair enough.
Purely because I look at Rash, and as you mentioned, he's really established himself as one of the best white ball spinners in the world right now. But for a long time, I didn't feel like Zampa had stamped his authority, in particular on that Australia team. And then comes 2020, he's 28 years of age now, which is the typical, age range, I suppose, for leg spinners to come to fruition and to mature and peak and hone their craft. And this year, he had a fantastic, fantastic year in the green and gold for Australia. Took 11 wickets at 23.27, slightly higher economy rate of 7.91 for a leg spinner. But again, you've got to think when he's bowling as well, had a couple of overs towards the latter stages against India. So that's probably manipulated those figures slightly. But I look at him now, and I almost look at the development of Adam Zampa from a pretty fresh-faced young spinner playing for South Australia, playing in the Big Bash as well, to where he is now. And I really do look at him as of 2020 as Australia's frontline spinner. And for that reason, I have to put him in the team. He really, really impressed me. And I think from here on out, he's going to go from strength to strength for the Aussies.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, you're right. Just when he was coming in, a lot of leg spinners have this in a sense. I think Adam Rashid had a really bad period as well. I think the start of 2010 as well, where he was just every time he played for England, he was just pitching them short, which I guess is sort of the norm. But yeah, you're right. Adam Zampa, fair enough. Very similar to Adam Rashid in that sense. Our final player, my frontline bowler, I'm going to go with Shaheen Afridi. Someone I personally love a lot. I think he's at 20 years old to have the skills that he has and the maturity that he does as a bowler is amazing. I think he's about to turn 21 in like 100 or so days, I think I saw on his ESPN page. But would you say he's one of the best left arm seamers in the world right now?
Yes, definitely. Yeah? He's one of these guys who I think in a few years' time we'll be looking at as one of the premier elite bowlers. Not just in white ball cricket as well. He's shown a lot of promise and potential in test cricket as well. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. I love watching Shaheen Afridi. Brilliant
exactly,
young bowler.
So he's a left armer. He's quick. He swings it both ways. He has a nice action. Dead accurate. A great death bowler. And I think that sort of, I know Pakistan PCB as a whole do this as a lot, bringing in players from literally 15 years old. To coming in at 18 or so, I think he was still available to play under 19 cricket. He came and made his Pakistan debut, impressed straight away, had a little bad period. But since then, he's just gone strength to strength. As in, he's just so mature in his bowling. I think it's very, very easy. I think players alongside him, like, I don't know, Mohammad Amir, have shown sort of when they do get hit around or things are going their way, they can go a little, I don't know how to say the word. Would you say aggressive is probably the wrong word?
I think over-aggressive and searching for wickets.
Exactly.
I think that is spot on.
That's it, searching for wickets. That's something that Shaheen doesn't do, which is very, very sick to see at 20 years old, which is why I'd put him in. I think stats-wise, I haven't got his this year's stats, but across his career in international T20s, he's got 11 games, 12 wickets, which again doesn't show the value that, say, Jasprit Bumrah does. But for me, I think he's just impressed as a whole. So I'm going to go... Sorry, I've read the wrong stats. That's Adil Rashid's. In this year, as in terms of his whole career, in 15 games, he's had 18 wickets with a 7.5 economy, which is very, very impressive as a seam bowler. As you said, 7.5 is very, very good. It pretty much justifies why I put him as my number 11. So who did you put as yours finishing off?
Well, it's interesting because we've been speaking a lot about economy rate and my number 11 has a 10.47, which isn't brilliant. But I do have reasons to almost defend him. And my number 11 is the leading wicket taker in T20I cricket in 2020. And that is Lungiwe Ngidi from South Africa. Took 17 wickets at 20.52. Had an excellent strike rate of 11.7. And again, for people who don't really know cricket stats and understand them, that means that he's taken a wicket every 12 balls. So that's every two overs. That is brilliant for a strike bowler. He's averaging basically two wickets a game. The thing that I will say with regards to economy, and it's funny that we were just talking about searching for wickets, Lungi did exactly that at times this year. And that is something that I want to see him improve massively heading into 2021. However, looking at stats alone, I don't think they really tell the full story. Because when you think of the 9 matches that he's played in, six of them have been against England. The other three are against Australia, which are the two best teams in the world with two of the most destructive batting lineups in the world right now as well. So for that reason, I've been a bit, lenient, I suppose, on Lungi. There's definitely room for improvement. I feel like, of course, in the wickets column, brilliant. In the economy rate, needs to work on that. That's something I want to be seeing a lot of improvement and development on heading into next year. But I still think he had a very good year, led the attack well for South Africa. And as I said, if you can just tone it down slightly, just as you said about Shaheen Afridi, have that maturity, maybe just reel it in slightly. Okay, I think he'll be an even better bowler than he already is. So for that reason, Lungi and Ngidi round off my lineup at number 11.
Fair enough. Yeah, like you said about economy rates, stats is, they're very, very handy at times to, you know, differentiate players. I think you'll understand, you probably won't need to look at stats as much anymore if you're looking at particular players, just because of the amount of the big schedules that they have in international cricket in general now. And with the combined franchise, you know if you're looking at a consistent player or not, because they're just consistently putting up big scores often. You're not looking every 3 months or so. So, yeah, I think you're right. Lungi Ngidi, I didn't know his stats exactly. I probably wouldn't have picked him anyway. But, yeah, impact wickets, if you could say that. Yes, you're going to play against big teams. You're going to go for runs. But taking wickets at key moments is something that definitely differentiates players, even if they do have a slightly higher economy rate, which is definitely something I get as well. I think players like Maxwell also have that as well. They can get slightly expensive at times, but when they do make an impact, it's the wickets they do take out have very high value in that sense, which is fair enough. So, guys, if you're watching or you're listening, please let us know your T20 11s. Put them down in the comments on YouTube, because you can't comment on Spotify. And yeah, let us know who your captain is. I went for about three players from Pakistan, a couple from England. I don't think I went from anybody from Australia, actually, which is kind of weird. I was going to go for Warner, actually, at the top order, but there was so much controversy when I was looking at the top order because there's so many options. But I went with two that I felt strongly about. So yeah, let us know your T20 11s. I've joined by Aaron again. Check out his podcast. He just released on with Liam Dawson. Like you said, on County Cricket Podcast on Spotify and iTunes and whatever. So check that out. Subscribe to the channel. Cricket Talks. Follow us on Spotify. I need more plays. And yeah, we'll see you guys on episode 5.